Hey friends, welcome to the Johnson City Living Podcast, where we learn about the people, places, events, and flavors that make Johnson City just a lovely place to live. I'm your host, Colin Johnson, with the Colin and Carly Group and Keller Williams Realty. If you're interested in buying or selling a home in the area, or if you're looking at investing in a rental property, give us a call at 423-930-8003, and we will look forward to helping you. Now, let's get to today's episode.
It's warm. It's not raining currently. It did this morning. The flowers are blooming. The pollen is rocking. It is spring full bloom, and I'm excited to bring my friend in so you guys get to meet her, Miss Natalie Pickering. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Are like a semi-celebrity. You do podcasts, you do TV shows, you do all kinds of stuff all the time. So you're going to be used to this format. Some people aren't, but yep. You are on top of it. So I'm excited to learn all about your business, but I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you.
Yeah.
Because you're just you're a gem in our area, and
thank you
for coming in. All right, Johnson City Living Podcast. What is the first and what's your favorite thing about Johnson City?
Favorite. I bet everybody says the mountains.
That's number one or two. We haven't done a poll. Mitch, we should do like a poll and rank it all. It's people or mountains.
Yeah.
And it's right in there.
It's the mountains.
And then we got seasons. Mm. Seasons is a short list, three.
I do love four seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm from Northwest Ohio, so we do have four seasons there.
Yeah.
But the mountains are my happy place. So in my work, I do a lot of supporting people.
Yeah.
And my recharge is I'm going to the mountains.
And you live in the mountains in Carter County? You have 18 acres,
I think you said? So when we moved here, I said to my husband, I have to be able to see a mountain, mm-hmm. right? We're coming from the flatland. Mm-hmm. I've got to be able to see a mountain. I also want a garage. So if I can have a garage and I can see a mountain.
When I open my garage, when I'm pulling out, I see the mountain, something like that.
Or in most windows of my house, I see a mountain.
What's your husband's name?
Mark.
Mark. So Mark made this happen. He helped you guys. You found this dream property.
We did it.
Good for you. Yeah. The mountains are just awesome. They're a beautiful backdrop. And they are constantly changing. Right now, they're greening up. They're waking up from their winter slumber. Okay. So how did you make it down from the flatlands to Johnson City?
So very big circuit of a route.
Let's talk about it. Let's go Natalie Origins.
How far back we want to go? Not
Natalie Origin story. Where were you born?
So the psychologist is sitting on the couch, by the way. So I was born in Bluffton, Ohio.
How'd that make you feel?
Northwest Ohio. Great. It was great. So I'm a farm girl.
Yeah.
Grew up driving tractors and taking sheep and hogs to the fair, the whole scene.
Nice.
So I graduated high school, went to the Air Force Academy for a brief stint. And then I transferred to Wheaton College. Mm-hmm. It's a Christian liberal arts school
in Chicago. My friend Sam's going to go there.
So Billy Graham, if we've ever heard of him.
I've heard of Billy Graham. He's a pretty big name.
Yep. Went to Wheaton. Then I moved to Baytown, Texas.
Okay.
I was actually recruited. So I played volleyball for Wheaton.
Okay.
I was recruited by a teammate's mom, who was the principal of this little school. And she recruited all of her teachers through her kids' friends.
Ah, smart.
Yep.
She's a connector.
Exactly. So moved to Baytown, Texas, met my husband, and then we moved to West Africa, lived in...
It's a logical next move.
Right. So we lived in Nigeria for a few years, working for a faith-based not-for-profit.
That's cool.
Yep. We're teaching at an international school. I had a master's in counseling. And really, that was my entrance to trauma, which is my clinical expertise. So I was in a little over my head, mm-hmm. so needed more training, came to Louisville, got my PhD, and then the training director at the VA hospital here mm-hmm. promised that they would kick us out of our office at 4:30, and I was all done with all-nighters. That's why I came to Johnson City, Tennessee.
So you could quit work at 4:30 is why you're here.
Yep.
It's a long way around that to realize that you want to be in your house looking at the mountains by 4:45, 5 o'clock.
Exactly. I am out and I am looking at my mountains. That's right.
I like it. That's awesome. Now, do you have kids?
I do. I've got two, a 15-year-old daughter who just got her driver's permit.
So watch out.
So pray extra for me, please.
Yeah. We did a lot of the driving.
Yes. And then good. I've got a 9-year-old son.
And so he'll be driving in a little while. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah, that was a long way around. But maybe, so you said you had some training and then you went and got your PhD. And so earlier I said, oh, you must be a counselor of some sort. And you said, no, I'm a
psychologist.
So this would be a good, I guess, opportunity for us to learn the differences in the levels of care and credentialing, I guess, would be a
That's
good
a
way
great question. And I think the general public doesn't understand. Yeah. You know, you get on maybe Psychology Today or BetterHelp and you're picking a person. So the tiers of training, you can get a master's degree and you can become a licensed professional counselor, a licensed marriage and family therapist, a licensed clinical social worker, or you can get a doctorate. And that's, you can get a doctorate in social work, but psychologists have a PhD or a PSYD. So we are doctor, not MD doctor, but PhD doctor.
My dad is a PhD doctor. Yep.
Yeah. So our specialty is really in assessments. So personality assessments, IQ assessments, all of those fun tests that people love. We are the ones who build them, figure out what we're trying to measure. Are we measuring that accurately? Mm-hmm. And then weave that into psychotherapy, basically.
Gotcha. And then psychiatrists? One
more? So psychiatry
is... You guys kind of are even though, right? You're just
They're MDs.
Right.
So they do, you know, medical training, that whole journey. So they therefore can prescribe medications. There are some states where psychologists, PhD kind of doctors, can take more training and prescribe just that kind of medication. Mm-hmm. But psychology and psychiatry often work in tandem.
Okay.
In treating people well.
And I was talking to a friend earlier, his wife is an NP psychologist. Is that
yes.
Right?
So nurse practitioner, they can have a specialization in mental health, psychiatric nurse practitioners.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of options there. And thank you for sharing that because I didn't know that because, I mean, you can also get training outside. You can become a certified counselor, I think. Like there's different online trainings you can take.
Yes.
And so that's good too. So talk to us about the name, your Higher Place. Is that the name of your organization that you run?
So it's High Places Coaching and Consulting.
High Places Coaching and Consulting.
One of my favorite books is Hind's Feet on High Places.
I don't know this.
By a woman named Hannah Hernard.
Okay.
And it's an allegory. So the main character, her name is Much Afraid. And along her journey, right, to the high places, which in the allegory would be like heaven, the Great Shepherd is always available to her, but her companions are sorrow and suffering.
Ooh.
Right.
Man,
this is
she's
a conversation
carrying a lot.
Stopper. I know. But when she gets to the top, her companions they become joy. And so it's this whole journey of life and these challenges along the way. And that's my goal for the people I'm supporting is how do we get you to your highest place?
Mm-hmm.
So the summit of your mountain is where we want you to be.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So highest places. And you can go to highestplaces.com?
Yourhighestplace.com.
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And get in touch with you there as well.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. How did you find yourself leaning towards psychology?
Yeah, also circuitous. I was a high school language arts teacher. That was my first career. And kids would just come and talk to me, like, after class. So I did a lot of coaching. We were teaching at a little, you know, private Christian school where if you've done it once, you're qualified. So you do everything. So I was directing the choir. I was doing yearbook, all the stuff.
Sounds like problems. Just,
yeah. So I had a lot of interaction with kids and so discipling kids and just being with them outside of the classroom. And they started asking me really hard questions and challenges and struggles. And I felt like I kind of like this maybe almost as much as the teaching. So went to get my master's, wanted to be equipped for, you know, what I felt like.
Taking good care of.
Yeah, exactly. So I got my master's. Then we moved overseas to Nigeria. And so I was doing some counseling there with a master's degree, also teaching. So some of that was with other expatriates. Some of that was with kids, their families, nationals, the whole thing.
Probably a lot of trauma.
A lot of trauma.
A lot of hurt there.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. And then so you decided, hey, I'm going to go a whole nother level.
Yes. Yeah, so
what did you do your PhD thesis on?
So that was at University of Louisville.
Okay.
And my dissertation was on religious attribution. So when, so let's say, for example, I help, you know, a person cross the street or, you know, they drop their groceries and I pick them up. Why do I do that?
Because you want to look really good in front of the people that are looking outside.
Exactly. So that's one option,
You feel compelled by something in you to show compassion to someone and love them.
Yes.
Right.
So my worldview.
Or you don't want to be called a jerk.
Exactly.
I mean, there are all kinds of permutations there. Yeah.
So my attribution, like, do I take credit for that? Do I do it because, you know, God has called me to serve people well in this way? Do I do it because there's social pressure? So that question was what I was trying to answer.
Let us off the hook. Why did you do it? Why do you pick up the groceries?
Well, it's pretty self-motivated.
Is it?
I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Usually it is, isn't it?
And it actually depends. If I'm doing something good.
Like coming on a podcast.
Yeah, I take the credit.
I'll give you.
If I do something not so good, right, then I blame that on something outside of me.
Gotcha. It's that id and ego.
It is. Dead. It all comes back to that. See, here we are.
Can't get rid
of
it.
On the couch.
Yes. Yes. Natalie's on a couch. Luckily, I'm in a chair, so I don't get psychoanalyzed. But there's a bigger, like a big part of your, from what I've know of you, is that you are an Enneagram wizardess, or you know everything there is to know about Enneagram and as much as you can know. And so tell us about how you got involved in the Enneagram studies and what you've learned there. And maybe we can talk about a brief overview of
it
for our listeners, because it's really cool.
It is. I love it. I use it in much of my work.
Yeah.
So I met the tool almost 20 years ago.
Rough so it's not season. Anything new. It's been around for a long time.
It's been around for hundreds of years, actually. It came to the U.S. in the 70s via a Chilean psychiatrist. So the rest of the world has been using it a really long time. So I was in a tough season, had my own psychologist doing some work.
Sure.
And he gave me this test. And I came back and he was going to brief me on the results. And he starts saying things about me. And I'm like, how do you know that? And I'm crying. I am found out. Like, he put all the stuff.
He's got all my secrets.
That I thought I was doing a really good job kind of locking down. He was telling me about myself.
He hacked into your Alexa and listened to you for like weeks. And
total
just...
hack. Yes. So all the Natalie secrets were laying bare. And I was like, how did that happen?
Hey, buddy.
So...
yeah.
My husband and I did a 2-year spiritual direction journey with him and a community of people because I really wanted to learn more about this.
Yeah.
And it just had this significant impact on me. It showed me my growth path. It showed me what's happening when I'm stressing. What do I do? It was a game changer. So I set it aside for a little bit because psychology is not super interested in the tool. So I take some heat from my professional community.
Which is odd, I think. You know, something that's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, they would just get rid of it.
It comes down to the research base. So we have other personality tools that have just stacks and mounds of research support.
Right.
And we've got some, but not as much on this tool. But it works. I mean, that's what people will say. Like, this makes sense.
What's the other personality one that everybody's? I'm a JKLMOP.
Myers-Briggs.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. Is that the biggest one? And in the industry?
It is. And the corporate space loves that. Mm-hmm. DISC is another popular one that people use.
Yep. I like DISC.
Yep.
That's a good one. It's quick and easy, but I like the Enneagram because it gets a lot more detail.
It does.
It gets into feelings.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. And your core motivation.
Yeah.
So the difference between the Enneagram, right? The DISC is showing us, okay, here's a behavior sample,
mm-hmm.
right? Here's how people are interacting. Here's how they're making decisions, right? The Ds are kind of sort of like the eights, you know, strong.
Like a little driver, like I need to make decisions quickly.
Exactly. Yep. And then we've got the relationals, mm-hmm. you know, the conscientious.
The S's,
you know,
or the I's.
Yeah.
I's.
Yep.
D-I-S-C. That's
exactly.
Carly's like, you can't spell anything. So.
But the Enneagram is, it's another level, right? Why do I respond like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I make decisions like that? Mm-hmm. What, you know, ruffles my feathers versus what ruffles your feathers? It's the gas really behind.
And it doesn't pin you in. You're a three with a wing something, right? Or whatever that is. You know, there's some, it's like, oh, you're not totally like in the disc, you're a D.
Yes.
It may have a little I, a little S or whatever.
There's a lot more nuance,
right.
I think, because you've got your type.
Right.
You've got your wings, which I, you know, it's like your salt and your pepper.
The wheel. How many different Enneagram types are there?
So there are nine.
Okay.
And it looks like a circle. It's not a pentagram, although some people think it looks like one.
I'm not going to say anything. It does look a little fun, but yes,
so,
it is circular.
And the lines serve a purpose, right?
Right.
So there are nine different personality types,
mm-hmm.
ways of being, ways of interacting with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lines show you, hey, what happens to me when I'm stressed? Or what's the number that I need when I'm in stress mm-hmm. that I can access and scoop from?
Yeah.
So the reason I like it, it's super flexible. You can ask a ton of questions. It's a development tool.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not using it to diagnose anything. We're not using it to label. Some people are like, this puts me in a box. And
no,
we say,
it just puts a number on you.
It actually shows you the box you're in so you can get out of your box.
Right. Can you change your number?
No.
So you are in a box.
You are driving your life bus from a certain number is how I like to say it.
You're just set at a certain speed. You're at a 3-speed. You got a 3-speed. You got a 9-speed.
Yeah.
Bus.
Or sometimes I'll say it's like your baseball team, right?
Okay.
So I've got these nine players sort of inside of me, and they're all getting a different amount of playing time, right? Would be another way of thinking about it.
I got it. Because we have all nine of them in there.
Yes. So we all have all nine.
But we've got the go-to.
We're driving from one.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're like, I don't like to label people, but you probably walk around being an expert at it, you're like, hey, this person, I'll talk to him for a minute or two. And you're like, you're a 2 and you're a 6 and you're a 4. And is that how it kind of goes a little bit?
We're not supposed to do that. So I'm an Enneagram 1. Like, I'd be breaking my own rule.
Hey, it's just between you and I right here.
Right.
There's nobody else listening. You can tell. So have you figured me out in our little interaction?
So I have hypotheses. Do you want them?
I would love it. And
okay.
I'll start crying too if you want.
So what I know about you is you're a successful businessman in your own right.
Thank you.
We'll
see.
And so, right, success would read 3-ish to me,
okay.
right? Again, that's a little bit limited. We've also broached a couple of sort of deep, you know, like trauma or painful kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be a little 7 in there, like, let's just have a good time and talk about JC. Let's not talk about that trauma stuff.
Yeah, let's just stick with the 3, because I'm trying to remember back. I need to go to my stuff and figure it out. But yeah, I think I'm a 3, and I knew, it's funny how you just, it starts talking about you and you're like, yes, but I don't feel myself as a sick, like, thank you for saying
that. Yeah.
But you look at yourself in a different lens than other people see.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you don't see yourself as a successful business person. You just like, I'm just going out every day.
But you also have a lot going on, right? So, I mean, you do the podcast, you have your other company, and 3s, I mean, they hit the ground running. They wake up in the morning, they eat goals for breakfast, and they are Moving.
What's the one? There's somebody, because the one also is a, is it the Cheever?
It's the good, right person.
Okay.
The reformer.
The reformer.
That's okay. My style.
Gotcha.
Yep. And ones and threes are actually a high powered team.
Okay.
Because the three is like, hey, here's all the stuff we're going to knock out today. And then the one brings that, okay, let's put some polish on that. Let's, you know, get that really dialed in.
Right, nice. Be like, Mitch, is that done yet? You know, kind of thing. And the one comes along and be like, Mitch, if you do this, it's going to really help you grow. And
yeah.
That kind of thing. Put a good spin on it.
But sometimes the one can get stuck in perfecting.
Right.
And so the three is like, hey, let's move on, right? We've so got, good that's balance. Good enough.
Yeah. They offset each other a little bit.
And it's true for lots of numbers. You can, you know, align them for, you know, high productivity, get a good team constellation.
That's
rolling.
A good idea. Yeah. I need to look at that. We should do that as a team now. I'm thinking about it. Carly and I have done it, and it was very helpful.
Yeah.
And it helped us relate a little bit better. Tell me how you would, so let's say, where's a good place to go and take the test for listeners? Where would you say go first?
There's two that I like. So the first one is WEPS, WEPPS.com.
Okay.
That was built by a psychologist. There is a price point attached. It's $15, but you get like the percent of every number that you have, and then it shows you how much is it helping you, how much is it holding you back.
Gotcha.
So you get a lot of good information.
And it's one of those you get what you pay for kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's free. That's, you know.
Yeah, there are free ones.
There are free ones. I've taken a couple of the free ones.
I prefer the WEPS. The other one that I love is called the Integrative, and then the number 9. It's a company based in South Africa, and I can actually generate a couple's report or a team report. So like if I'm working with a team, they all take it individually, then I can generate a team report. And interestingly, the team number may not be reflected by anyone on that team. So there's an algorithm that's really cool.
That's cool.
He's a 5. Actually, both of the men who built those tests are Enneagram 5s.
Okay, what is the 5?
Which is a very expert, wise, like...
Brainiacs,
that's who you want building
a super sharp person.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yes. So, yeah, so that's fun. Like you've got a team, you know, maybe the team is a 5, but it's just, you know, the reflection of all those people, even if we don't have a 5 on the team.
Right. You add them up and you get like a 50 and you're like,
you're like, something like that.
No, that's not how it works. And then you can say, okay, here's what we're, maybe a part where, like you were saying, where the 1 comes along the 3 and you can say, okay, we're missing a 7 and we need a 7.
Or let's say we had a 3 team, right? Like successful, achieving, right? Like we're winning. Threes can be competitive. I don't know if that resonates
like
with you.
I like to compete a little bit.
So if your team is a 3, maybe we have like, maybe we do have a 5 on the team and they don't care about winning. They just want a good strategy. They want a good plan. They want to know that we maybe have a backup plan, right? When we're eating our goals for breakfast. So it really helps the team have these conversations around how do we include everyone in making this decision?
Yeah.
Or how do we make sure everyone on this team is functioning from their strength and contribution and feel like they're...
Is that the includer person?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I like teaching Gallup strengths with the Enneagram. It's a really... It's a great combination.
My wife, Carly, she's a great includer. She's always like, you need to get these.
Exactly.
And then who's the person on the team? Like, what number is like, oh, I really want our t-shirts to be super cool looking and designed.
The 4.
The 4 is more.
They are creatives.
Okay.
They're tuned into aesthetic. It's got to be meaningful. So there's a depth to the 4. They're not afraid of emotional pain. I mean, they can do theirs, they can do yours, they can do all of ours.
Gotcha.
But it's got to be significant.
Okay.
Or they don't want anything to do with it.
Okay. So it's got to have significance.
Yes.
And then, but and aesthetically, pleasing.
And be
too.
Beautiful.
And be
creative.
Beautiful. Creative.
Mm-hmm.
What's on the other side? Because it feels like we're talking on the right side of the circle.
Yeah.
What's the left side like?
So interestingly,
7s, 8s, 9s.
Yeah. So you've got 5, 6, 7 are your thinkers.
Okay.
And as much as the 4 has that capacity to hold emotion, 7 has the least.
Okay.
They don't want to be sad. They don't want to be bored. And they just want to move on to the next thing, next thing, next thing.
Okay.
Right? Then at the top, you've got 8, 9, 1, those are your instinct. We call them the gut body, right? Like we even talk about that. Like I just felt it in my gut.
Yeah.
Very instinctual kinds of people. Eights are world changers, strong, powerful challengers. We're doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nines are your harmonizers, mediators. They're lovely in helping a team get consensus.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. They see everyone's perspective.
Right.
And then you've got the one who's the, we're going to do this right. We're going to cross our T's, dot our I's, follow the policies and procedures.
They're the attorneys of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to have it perfect. And this is why. That's cool. So how did you get introduced to the Enneagram?
So I was working with a psychologist and had my whole like, I've been found out moment and realized.
This is cool.
It's powerful.
Right. You told me about
It's very powerful. And even in my marriage, I mean, understanding my husband's type and relating to him, my kids, I think I know at least.
You're working on it?
Yeah.
Because when do you fully develop your personality like that? I mean,
so
some people say by
fully,
age 5, 4,
I mean, we've got a pretty good sense, right? Even when our kids are little, right? More introverted, extroverted. But personality isn't fully online until late teen, early 20s. It lives a little bit in the prefrontal cortex, which is the last part of the brain to develop.
And I have a pastor friend who says that boys' brains don't fully develop till we're 28. So don't make any decisions that are like hard and fast.
All parents need to know this about
this
their kids,
so
right?
Yes. We make lots of decisions before we're
28. The interesting thing about personality, we used to think or say, right, nature, nurture, right? Mm-hmm. It's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. So we arrive on the scene with our personality hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
And then our families, what happens to us in our life, that nurture component has about half the impact. But actually, research in the last 10 to 15 years says, you know what? Nurture has more influence than like our base hardwiring.
Give me a percentage.
60-40.
60-40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your genetic predisposition is 40%.
Yeah.
And which seems still like a lot, right? I mean, you're a little baby, you're coming out, you're like, but you're like already like, oh, I'm a little baby that's I'll say, hey, I want this or that.
Yeah.
Or yeah, you've got a personality already.
And then our families.
And then your family, yeah.
Our systems either, you know, some of that is embracing that type, right? Maybe there's rules in family systems that, you know, inhibit parts of who we are. I mean, all of those things. And then enter trauma or hard things that people go through and the impact that that has on their personality. So,
which can be drastic.
It can be.
I mean,
sometimes I get the question, does your number ever change? And I would say that's the only time, right? So for people who have, you know, these really horrible things that have happened to them, it's like their truest self has had to go into hiding, got lost. And as they do the work and as they come through all of that trauma impact and account for the whole story, now we get to see the incredible, true person. That's beautiful work.
Yeah, and you just lit up while you were talking about that, because that's what you love
I'm thinking of amazing people who have courageously taken that journey.
Yeah, so if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, I feel like I'm hiding my true self, you'd be a good person to reach out to.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about that process. Like, what does that look like? Somebody engages with you.
Sure.
And go through the process. I mean, obviously, it's not you don't have like a, hey, color in this and do this. And 2 weeks later, you're all fixed, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that, but.
No. And I'm a trained psychologist and I can do psychotherapy. I'm also a trained coach. And those are two kind of different things, right? So it depends on what people are working on.
And I think very like hand in glove.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always pulling from my clinical expertise, even in my coaching, right? Which is we're starting here and we're going forward.
Or you're coaching to help, hey, you've got to do these exercises this week to get you down the road. And
exactly.
We want to get you down the road. You want to get down the road, don't you, Natalie?
Yes. Right. Exactly. And I think if I can also help people recognize what debris of life is getting in their way, right? And so I've got a sense of how that shows up. And so if we're doing the therapy side, I do an intensive. So people come, I don't do the like weekly 1 hour. We actually meet for 3 to 4 hours a day for several days because we're gonna knock it out.
We're getting into it.
That's my approach.
We're gonna get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the therapy side. On the coaching side,
right,
we can do a similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or I do traditional coaching. Some people want to meet monthly, some people want to meet twice a month. We might do, you know, an extended kind of thing to like really take a deep dive, debrief their assessments, and then what are your goals? Where do you want to be 6 months from now? Where do you want to be a year from now? Let's go.
I like it.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Which is, I think, in my business coaching world and brain, I'm going, that's interesting to think about, like, emotionally, where do you want to go, right? Like, that's a cool concept that I hadn't thought
so
of.
What I say, because I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and intrapreneurs, I'm the person for your inner business, right? So there's all the things that you're doing. We can actually maximize that performance by taking a look on the inner business.
That's cool. That's fun. What else do you offer besides some of that, like coaching and so therapy? Anything else that you offer?
So I do a lot of workshops and trainings, right? So organizations or teams will bring me in. I just did one this morning, a 3-hour Enneagram for Leadership training. This is for the Tennessee prevention, drug prevention. So I had people from all over the state of Tennessee learning about their Enneagram. It was
That's
super
cool.
fun.
And they're probably like, I've never even heard of this.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. They did awesome. Great questions. So insightful. So you can bring me in to do those kinds of things. Some teams like to do their workshop and then we might do like quarterly team coaching. So I may come back in, you know, Q1, Q2. How are we doing? What have you all learned? They've had a chance to kind of put things into practice, and then I check in with them. So that's an option. I'm launching, actually, in August, a women in business and leadership closed group coaching cohort.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we're going to use the Enneagram and Gallup strengths, and it's limited to 10 people so that everyone has a meaningful experience.
So you better get online and connect with Natalie now for that.
A few seats left. But we're going to meet monthly, and so I'll share a content piece, and then we'll do different breakouts, but each woman is building out her own leader identity. That's the goal.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Hopefully you get a lot of neat work done there, help a lot of people. What are some of the hard things that you've had to deal with being because you're kind of an entrepreneur yourself, like, what are some of the hard things you've had to deal with in your business?
So my Enneagram 1 gets in my way. Like,
tell us more about that.
Okay. So as a solopreneur, I have a really high standard.
Okay.
And I don't delegate well.
Yes.
So I fall into the trap of,
I'm raising my hand.
Doing it all myself. So I do my own marketing materials. I've learned Canva. I've learned Camtasia to do my video editing. I've learned WordPress.
I don't even know what that is. Canva and WordPress.
So I
sure.
can do Elementor Pro and do my own website.
There you go.
But I need to be outsourcing more. So I have this.
You're stealing
year,
other people's joy, is what you're doing.
Yes.
Like
exactly.
Mitch, I mean, he's over here doing the podcast. He's loving it. Look at him. I mean, he's having a blast. He's surfing YouTube right now, but, you know, whatever. Or the graphic designer, you know, so it takes, for me, so I used to be like that a lot, but I'm like, no, it's not worth the time, and I'm stealing somebody else's joy.
So I'm getting there. I've outsourced web stuff this year.
Good
I've
job.
Outsourced, thank you, some of my digital content, and that's been great. Like, I cannot do everything. So that's a challenge.
I have to sing the Frozen song sometimes to myself. Just let it go.
That's a good Enneagram 1 song.
Let it go?
Yeah.
Let it go.
Maybe it's an Enneagram 3 song.
I think it
is. About that.
I think it is. Let's say somebody is listening and they're like, this sounds like a really cool job that you've got because they love people. And what would be some advice to someone who you're thinking, well, I've got two questions on advice, but remind me to come back to the advice. So what would be some advice you'd give to someone who's thinking about becoming a psychologist? Mm-hmm. Because you did a little long route about it.
I did. It found me. Right. A friend of a friend is contemplating a career change. And I just met with her yesterday because she's considering this whole thing. So this is in my mind. What I love about psychologists is the flexibility. So I started my training thinking I want to stay on the clinical path, right? Like there's trauma everywhere. I want to help people with this. And then in one of my jobs, I realized, wait a minute, people are being really negatively impacted at work. And, you know, in some leadership dynamic situations, some team dynamic situations. So I thought, what if I go upstream? How can I support these people? And actually, I'm still using all of my clinical training. Mm-hmm. It's just in a different way and with different language.
Yeah.
So I think what I love is the flexibility. Gotcha. And I didn't even realize that when I got into the field that I could do all these fun things.
And I think, we continue to grow and adapt and like learn about our job and like how it moves and changes too, because we're changing and our skills are growing and we're like, oh, well, I used to love doing that, but now I love watching other people do that and helping them do that. And it's just a lot of fun. Going to go back to, you said you were counseling school students.
Uh-huh.
And so Carly and I have a graduating senior, Christian, and what would be some advice you give to high schoolers who are graduating today, going into college or wherever they're going? Like right now it's graduation. There are tons of kids graduating.
Yeah.
How would you help them navigate like the future?
So if
you had 5 minutes with us.
I think because of the prefrontal cortex stuff we talked about before.
We're not fully there.
Yeah.
I'm hoping mine finishes up someday.
We're not even thinking about like the consequences or the implications or the
longevity
it's not there.
Of the decision. Right.
So in a sense, it's almost unfair that we ask kids to dial in what they want to do forever. I mean, how many grownups, right? And have had career changes.
I'm not doing what I started out doing.
Exactly. Same, right? I was a high school language arts teacher.
And you were going to be a pro volleyball player.
There you go. That was also in the cards.
I want to be a pro tennis player and a stockbroker. I'm not either one.
There you go.
Sorry.
So something I love, actually, that the UK does, when we lived in West Africa, we had a lot of students coming from the UK on their gap year. And I was like, this is brilliant.
The gap year.
So, yes. So they would shadow at the hospital or they would, you know, all these different things that were happening. And they can start to determine, hey, I kind of love this, or I never thought about this, or maybe I hate this. That's just as good information. Like, let's come to that realization.
100%, yes.
And, you know, how many teachers get to their student teaching in their junior, senior year? And I think they've changed that, actually, and they do classroom exposure earlier. But, yeah, I would say not to lock in too quickly.
Gotcha.
You know, stay open. If you can take a variety of things, do that. I think the other thing is shadowing experiences. So follow people around, like ask, can I like hang out with you for a day? Because what really happens in that career and job does not always translate in the coursework objectives.
Yes. Agreed. I think people want to shadow me some kids. And I'm like, you sure? It's like, it's not as glamorous as it looks like HGTV people selling houses.
Let me show you these Excel spreadsheets when I'm doing my accounting.
Here's where you grab a phone. You're going to make a bunch of calls. That's what I do every day. Just talk to people and how do we help them? Well, so what I got out of that is just tell all of our kids to take a gap year. Just, you know, go surfing somewhere.
My kids are going to take a gap year.
I liked it.
Yep.
I've already signed my kid up for school. Sorry.
It's not too late. I don't think so.
Christian, don't listen to this one. Just
talk to the registrar.
No, we're so proud of him. He's in the Honors College, I think. And the funny thing is the dean standing up there and he's like, hey, saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You think you're going to do this right now?
Yep.
2.8 major change, or you change your major 2.8 times on average. He goes, I changed mine like 5 times. And This is the dean of the Honors College. We're like, okay, I got you.
Yep.
How do you continue to grow and stay inspired in your field? What are you doing to connect with other people?
So I have my own coach.
Oh, good.
Because I think it's important.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing the work, that I'm having someone.
You got to practice what you preach, kind of deal.
Questions. Yeah. Exactly. I'm in a business coaching group also, which is super fun because lots of other industries are represented. And so if I have an opportunity challenge, I get to hear from, you know, the manufacturing space or the marketing space, and they've got a whole new take on things,
right,
which is fabulous.
Yeah. And then they're looking at you going, what do you think about this?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So
very,
really synergistic.
Yeah.
Love that. I buy more books than I actually read, but I've got a stack on my nightstand. I've got a stack. I've been really trying to do a morning routine where I'm, you know, doing, you know, more of my devotional Bible time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll shift to, you know, just something not even in my industry, right? I try to read outside of my industry for the same reasons that I'm in that business coaching group. As I,
different
it's
perspectives.
Just, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
What are some, give us like some little tips on healthy rhythms for us as individuals to, you know, like I'm with you. I do a little Bible study every morning to get in the Word and really just talk to our Creator, because I think He's in control. But what would be some tips and tricks for our listening audience for self-care? How do you take care of yourself before you go out into the world, or even while you're in, maybe you're in a tough situation at your job, or what would be some tricks?
Yeah, several things come to mind. I mean, back to the mountains, that's honestly where I recharge. So sometimes I've got certain songs that I'll listen to. I really love trail running. I'm not going to tell you my trail because I don't want the word to get out. It's a hidden trail.
If you become part of the 10-person inner circle of Natalie, she'll let that
That's
out.
Right.
That's
we can go together. I'm actually really introverted and I need a lot of solitude.
Okay.
And there's just something for me about being in nature, moving my body, all at the same time that helps me decompress. The other interesting thing is our nutrition. I know I'm kind of throwing this in here, but there's a whole field of nutritional psychology. I have a certificate in that, and nutritional psychiatry. And we're eating in a way that helps with sadness or anxiety, right? And so dialing in your nutrition not only has physical impact, but a lot of mental health impact.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to have to quit eating cheddar rounds. Is that what you're saying?
Not totally. Otherwise,
but they bring
you
great
deprived joy.
It's okay to eat, maybe.
So that's a part of your rhythm, a cheddar round?
I don't know when the last time I had cheddar rounds was, but I do love them. Pals fries are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I just love Pals, but it's maybe a once a week kind of thing.
There you go. That's part of your rhythm. It's a just weekly.
Lattes I do like, but that may be adding to sadness or that's, what's something that I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share? Anything?
I could not do what I do without my husband.
So big shout out to Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of hours, a lot of behind the scenes, and
Does he have a career too?
Yeah. He's a math teacher at Science Hill.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
So a lot of the shuttling, a lot of the kids stuff really, really falls on him.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah. Well, I'm sure he appreciates that for sure. Anything, let's say somebody's listening and they're hurting, what would you tell them? Because I feel
don't do it by yourself. That was the other thing when we were talking about rhythms. It's so easy to just get inward focused and self focused and, you know, social media doesn't count and texting doesn't count. We need face-to-face, present, being with another person. Yeah. And so I just want to say, don't navigate that stuff by yourself.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I think what you do is just very helpful to people. And the older I get, the more I see people. And I have a thing in my head that I always say to myself, if somebody's acting out or wrongly, I'm like, well, who hurt them to where they want, you know, hurt people, hurt people is kind of what I come back to all the time. And so it'd be awesome if we could heal the world to where people aren't hurting, you know, and get rid of the trauma. Like, and I don't know how you start that, like that would be something amazing, but, yeah, I'm just very hopeful for what you're doing and what you do in our area, because you're changing one individual at a time that's impacting our whole, our community. And that's another reason that's so awesome and people love to move here. And so
that's my hope. I mean, if, you know, we have one healthier person, then their relationships get healthier and
their kids are healthier.
Exactly.
And then they're perpetuating more and more health around the area.
I didn't answer another thing. I was just remembering you asked about how do we do this, right? Like, what's the process? And you just get started. And the first sort of phase that I tell people is, we're going to honor your story. We're going to honor where you've been, how you got here. And there's some really cool stuff about that. There's some really yuck out stuff about that. And so my work sometimes, honestly, is I'm bearing witness to the honoring of how this beautiful person got here.
Yeah. And short-term pain to go back to those experiences that are done. They're not, I mean, it's a memory right now, right? It's not, but we live it out like it's going to hurt us again if we bring it up, you know? And so short-term pain versus long-term health is...
Exactly.
Is just probably the thing you got to jump through.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
How do our listeners connect with you?
So the best way is yourhighestplace.com.
Okay.
There's a contact form right on the website that comes straight to me. I would also encourage people to sign up for my newsletter. That's at the bottom of the homepage. And so if I'm doing workshops, if I'm doing public events, I try to post those. I also have tips, Enneagram stuff that might be helpful in the newsletter.
That's cool. And then what gets you just fired up? Like, oh, let's go.
Can I say mountains again? It is me with my headphones and my trail shoes and Chewy, my dog. And we are going to my trail and I have an open block of time. I know that sounds crazy because I'm an introvert and I'm like, oh.
I'm married to an introvert.
Getting by myself is really exciting.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for just all you do. And
thank you.
I hope you guys learned a lot about Natalie and her business. And I just pray that you connect with her if you feel like you really need it. And if you want to move to East Tennessee, if you're not in our area, or if you want to move around East Tennessee, call me. We're looking to help a lot of people this year. We're growing our team. If you want to get into real estate, call me. I'd love to do that too. We also do a lot of property management. So if you're interested in investing in real estate, we would love to help you do that. And we'll take care of it from start to finish. So thanks again for listening. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.